You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Chatting to Colin Coleman last night, he mentioned that we need to become much more dynamic and entrepreneurial in South Africa if we are to stand any chance to turn the tide against low growth and record unemployment holding this country back from reaching its full potential. But often, entrepreneurs who have innovative ideas and the requisite skills to build a business are left unsupported, especially young black founders, as they don't have access to generational knowledge and wealth for obvious historical reasons in the South African context. And there is a lack of capital in the seed investment stage, and if this can be turned around, it will ultimately drive technology advancements, job creation, and economic growth desperately needed in South Africa and indeed Africa. Now, Digital Africa Ventures was founded by Tendeka Kaba and her business partner Nonkululeko Komonyane, and it's one of a handful of black female-led venture capital funds with the founder principals under the age of 35, and they've recently raised over 25 million rand. A really good news story. Tendeka and Nonkululeko, welcome to the show. And I think no mean feat in the context of South Africa and the African startup environment to have achieved that. Tendeka, maybe you could just kick us off. Tell us a little bit more about Digital Africa Ventures and what it is that you do.
Sure, Michael. Thanks so much for having us on your show today. So Digital Africa Ventures is essentially a venture capital fund. So what we do is we try to identify entrepreneurs at the very early stage. So I know you hear stories of people starting things in their garage, in their backyards. So we are those people who are looking for talented, high-potential entrepreneurs who cannot necessarily access capital or risk capital that can support them at that stage. So we focus particularly on the digital technology sector, particularly because we believe that digital technology is scalable, but also that it's, you know, one of the tools that people across the LSM levels have access to, and so it can help bridge income inequality. So we're a venture capital fund. We invest in digital technology startups, and we invest between 2 to 5 million rand in these businesses. And then we also support the businesses after investment. So through access to our networks, through kind of team dynamics and team building. So we're not only an investor that puts in capital, but we also try to walk the journey with entrepreneurs as well.
It's so much more than just the capital. It is that knowledge. It is the networks. And then the funding almost comes after that. And Nonkululeko, just to bring you in here, have you seen potentially COVID de-risk the tech aspect of what you do? Because prior to COVID, you know, tech investments were tended to be fairly risky, but we've seen that technology is no longer a nice to have. It's an absolute essential in this post-COVID world.
Afternoon, Michael. Thank you so much for having us, as Tanega has mentioned. Actually, that is a bit true. So COVID did one thing, was to assist businesses that were thriving to access customers that were able to utilize the technology solution. And I'm sure you're aware, when we spoke about technology, it was largely a PowerPoint presentation for 2025. And what COVID did was to accelerate the adoption of technology and forced businesses, particularly the traditional businesses, to quickly innovate. You know, so I think that was the one thing that we saw, and the uptake of technology increased far more than it would have on a natural growth scale. So it did have a positive impact. The negative impact, however, is that people who were only starting and getting going, unfortunately, were not able to thrive or to grow their businesses, because like us and other VCs in the space, we actually had to slow down and see how the market was responding to these technologies, and to really assess which industries did we want to participate in and which industries would make the biggest impact.
And when we talk about impact, Tendeka, yesterday I had the good pleasure of chatting to the founders, or one of the founders of WizPass. They've successfully exited to an international acquirer, but we don't see enough of those stories in the South African ecosystem. What more can be done by the ecosystem partners and all of the stakeholders to support the growth of tech startups in South Africa?
I think one of the standout gaps currently in the early stage technology ecosystem is philanthropic capital as well as patient capital that identifies and supports entrepreneurs, or at least people with entrepreneurial potential, from a very young age. And so the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation is one of those vehicles currently where there's a significant amount of philanthropic capital that's been invested in young people who portray entrepreneurial potential from the age of 15. So they've kind of got this engine that's identifying and investing in young people, and also encouraging them to start businesses and take risks and fail, and you know, dust themselves off from a very young age. So that almost feeds into the engine, you know, at the stage that we're at, where we are then coming with bigger ticket sizes and then can actually support businesses in a more sustainable way. But we definitely do need that a healthy pipeline of young entrepreneurs who are being supported along the journey.
Absolutely. And we'll come back to that, Tondeka, because you are an Alan Gray Orbis Foundation Fellow. Nonkululeko, just take us through this achievement of closing a 25 million rand funding deal last year and what you've done with that funding since.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a great experience, a challenging experience, because as you know, VC in South Africa is quite a nascent sector, and it's one that's growing, but it's also fragmented. So I think one of the notable achievements is that we've been able to collaborate with a lot of the big guys that have been in the space for years, and they are adding tremendous value. So if we ever get stuck or need advice, you know, they're always ready to help, and we're forever grateful to them. And I think it's also worth mentioning our investors, SSME Fund, Paid Funds, and E-Squared. They have been great collaborative partners. They've also given us, you know, mentorship and guidance. So we haven't walked the journey alone. I think that has to be clear. It's not possible to do this and not have a strong network of supporters, partners, and investors. And we've been fortunate to realize that. What we've been able to do, we close our first transaction on the 31st of March into a tech logistics platform called Triplo. It's founded by Victor, a young dynamic entrepreneur. And we're grateful that he valued us as a partner and didn't just look at the capital, because I think we've tried to add more strategic support in that business and really assist him in driving sales and growth of the company. So maybe to give you some context, Triplo is a logistics tech platform. They facilitate the efficient fulfillment of loads throughout SADC. So that is also, in if you think about it, an industry that's largely fragmented. Yeah. It doesn't allow for young or smaller transporters to really participate in the value chain. And this is what the technology platform is aiming to do. So it really speaks to the core of our investment thesis and the types of businesses that we want to support and grow throughout the African continent and globally.
And Tondeka, to bring you in, you know, obviously there are very few black woman-led venture capital funds out there. So do you ever find, and I hate asking this question because you're professionals off your own bat, and the fact that you're black and female is secondary, but do you find that this becomes a bit of an issue or a tag or a label even? Tell us about the journey of breaking into this industry.
So that's a funny one. So we always joke that we don't have to say we're black and woman owned, because when you look at us, it's kind of written. So unless there's something that's confusing about the way we look. But we are very proudly black and female. And we really do kind of, we embrace our differences in this industry, and we actually think it's a competitive advantage that we're coming into the space and one of the only people who look like us, sound like us, and have, you know, diversity in backgrounds that we do. We think it actually gives us a competitive edge in the industry, in the sense that we are looking at investments through a lens that hasn't necessarily existed in the ecosystem, and that we're able to relate to entrepreneurs who potentially previously didn't actually have the same social context and background as other investors in the space. Obviously, it comes with its challenges, and we're all aware of all the isms that exist out there. And I think for us, what we try work on as a team, and what we were trying to encourage the ecosystem to do, is really just to do the work to identify the biases that are inherent in all of us, because we all have them. But I think we'll start to see real change when we can all kind of look at ourselves and identify our biases and then navigate the investment space, knowing that we are probably inclined to make decisions based on these biases and challenge that, you know, that part of us that, that leads with that, that lens. So
it's a huge competitive advantage, and I love the way you're framing that, because it is conceptually in South Africa something that we are discussing a whole lot more. And I even look at where America finds itself right now, and I think we're having a far more mature, nuanced conversation about many of these issues. So fantastic to see you taking the picking up the mantle so eagerly, so to speak. Just lastly, Nonkululeko, for aspiring entrepreneurs out there, any advice that you'd give them now at this particular stage when I know things are gloomy, I know the economy now going into another lockdown has got people a little bit depressed about where we find ourselves with slow vaccine rollout. Often, though, when I chat to entrepreneurs, they have a different view on things. They see resources as a little bit cheaper because things are economically depressed. How do you view the entrepreneurial opportunity in South Africa right now?
That's an interesting question, and I think I've seen and heard a lot from ecosystem partners that this is the time when true entrepreneurs and entrepreneurial businesses are actually born. So entrepreneurs have the ability to identify opportunities, you know, in the chaos of all the problems that we are facing. So one of the things I'd say to anyone looking to start an entrepreneurial business is, firstly, be sober-minded. It's not an overnight achievement or success. It will require a lot of time and commitment. It does come with sacrifices. So have that at the fore of whatever they're doing. But then also understand that, you know, it takes one person to start to create jobs for hundreds of people. And as long as you are innovating with a clear problem in mind that your solution is addressing, you will get the customers, you will get the funding. But I guess where the underlying theme is that you need to get started. You know, you can't talk about being an entrepreneur. You need to get your hands dirty. And it's not going to be a fun ride. It is going to be difficult. You're going to hear no more frequently than you hear yes. But the times that you hear the yes, those are the times that actually allow you to continue to grow and build upon the business that that you have. So I think that for me would be my advice to entrepreneurs. Get started. Be realistic, solve a real problem, and also communicate to other entrepreneurs around you, because you're typically all solving similar problems and you have better luck of completing your business or your business objectives if you work together as opposed to working in a silo. You know, having more creative minds is always, always beneficial.
And I think it's a great point you make there. We often glamorize it in the financial press, the entrepreneur, the big exit, but we don't look at the failures, the no's, how long it's taken to get there, the strained relationships, the late nights, the personal journey that entrepreneurship is, but also must be one of the most rewarding pursuits in life, to be able to create something, to build, to leave legacy, and to contribute so positively in a country so desperately looking for a positive contribution. Thank you both, Nonkululeko Komonyane, and your founding partner, Tandeka Kaba, of Digital Africa Ventures, blazing a trail for women in venture capital.